Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. It's Yahtzee Croshaw here.
And I'm Michael Wendra.
Yes, I'm waiting for him to introduce himself there. And this is the Slightly Something Else podcast, where we'll be talking about E3 with a twist. The twist being that I have gone out of my way to avoid all E3 news. At this point, I know nothing beyond what I have glanced at the occasional spare headline or tweet. And Nick is now going to reveal the new reveals. And you will be getting my reaction live, assholes.
Yes, you will.
This is what you want?
So I guess there's some background on E3 for you this year, then, since you haven't paid attention at all. Like, there was no physical event. It was all done digitally. And it was kind of like a mix of Summer Game Fest hosted by Jeff Keighley and then the ESA doing their own thing with E3, which was I'm going to try not to be too cynical in this,
that's my job. Just give me the news.
You're going to pound me into the ground with your cynicism, but the ESA, like, this was just a clusterfuck of an E3 for them. Like, I don't know if I told you about like how they wanted a media to sign up for it, but they had, you know, they doxed us all in 2019. You didn't get doxed, but like the rest of our team did. And yeah. So this year they think it's a good idea to let's launch an E3 portal where you come and give us even more of your information in like a social media app style thing. And I'm like,
and for like social media improves everything, it seems.
Yeah. And even for like the media, there was no like media week this week. Which usually the week before E3 is like when the press goes and kind of sees everything before the showcases. So you have all your press coverage, which is why Starfield leaked, because, you know, people had already seen it. But it's like the ESA is just a mess. It's just a mess. So whatever E3 was this year, I'm like, they're saying for 2022, it'll be a mix of like digital and in-person stuff. But boy, howdy, am I curious.
Well, that's just the future of humanity, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Always a mixture of digital in person until we become the fucking Borg.
So, yeah, you know, and kind of what we've been talking about, like, during the live streams during E3 this year is, like, you know, people's expectations are kind of through the roof because we didn't have E3 last year because of the pandemic. And then this year, you know, game production, like, halted last year. And so a lot of the stuff that was probably supposed to be more shown off this year isn't ready yet. And push to 2022, like all of Warner Bros. Games and everything. So, you know, in general, like this year was pretty lackluster. I mean, Summer Game Fest kind of kicked everything off. You got some, I don't remember, I already don't remember a whole lot from it, also because I've seen like 300 different games this weekend. But for at least for you, Elden Ring was finally officially revealed with a release date during Summer Game
Fest. Yes, that's the one I did hear about. It was hard to miss. But yes, all I know is that it has a release date.
Yep. So they're taking basically everything that you loved about the Dark Souls games.
Well, I do love a lot about Dark Souls.
You do. And then some elements of from Sekiro, and it's going to be full open world Souls game.
Open world. Okay. And, now I pick up on that.
Yeah, IGN.
Because Dark Souls arguably was open world. When we say open world, what do we mean?
I mean, in the interviews that they put out now, in Elden Ring, you can do the bosses in any order you want now.
Oh, they're Breath of the Wilding it.
Yeah, they're Breath of the Wilding it.
Well, I didn't think them for trend chasers, but okay.
I don't, you know, if anybody's going to do it right, I think it's going to be From Software, and I don't think they're going to stray too far. Like, the biggest change I've heard so far, aside from it being open world, is that there's skills now. There's over like 100 different skills you can unlock in the game. Yeah, that I figured you'd get that reaction to, but
skill trees, open world skill trees. Next, you'll be telling me you have to crouch in a bush to hide from people and throw rocks to distract them and shit.
The camera can see that I'm looking at it. the audience can see that I'm looking at it. There is some stealth stuff.
This is all starting to sound a bit Jiminy Cockthroaty.
I don't think so. I think From Software has proven themselves enough to not stray too far from the formula.
What's next? Collectible flags? Crafting?
Well, maybe. but it seemed like the stealth was just like, I don't know, everything looks a bit faster paced in it. You know, you have the horseback riding now, like, and everything. So, to me,
Elden Ring was the one thing I was slightly optimistic for.
Well, I mean, I think this is just natural evolution for them. That's always the way, isn't it?
This is the natural evolution for all games to all move towards this one identical central point of squatting about in a bush and Chad, throwing rocks to distract people and crafting.
Chad is telling us there is crafting. So,
well, the chat's saying there's technically been crafting since the Titanite stuff. All right, fine. Crafting is a broad definition these days.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be chopping down trees and crafting anything from that, so...
Is there parkour?
No, but your horse can, like, do a major, like, leap in the sky.
Okay. I should probably ask, are we going off actual gameplay videos here?
Yes, or just
pre-rendered cinematics? Pre-rendered cinematics mocked up to look like gameplay videos?
No, it was actual gameplay within the trailer.
Okay.
And it very much just looks like open world Dark Souls, you know, nothing too...
So often these first 5 minutes of gameplay videos are just mocked up pre-rendered footage to look like gameplay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of like the main thing I think you would be excited about out of the Summer Game Fest.
Okay, well, all downhill from here then.
Yeah. What was after that? Ubisoft? I think we had Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. What's time period hasn't Assassin's Creed done yet? Oh, don't tell me. Wild West. They're going to do a Wild West one.
Nope.
Wait, I was being facetious. Have they actually announced an Assassin's Creed game?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Nope, no Assassin's Creed. They were pretty light on announcements this year, too. I think the one you'll be really, really excited about is Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
What?
Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
And that's what I'll be really, really excited about, is it? Is Avatar even a thing still?
there's five more movies coming.
Well, that's what we keep hearing, but there hasn't been one since the first.
Yeah. No, that was a... This game's been in development at Ubisoft Massive for a long time, and it's a full next-gen, whatever it is.
So they've had plenty of time to make it committee design bland dross, then.
It's...
plenty of time to file the edges off of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect from this game.
It's an open world, I take it?
Yep, open world. Surprisingly, in first person. I did not know that. I thought it would be third person.
Okay, so it's Fantasy Far Cry then.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got from the trailer. It's not live service either. It's single player adventure. So,
all right, let me hazard a few guesses.
Yep.
Are there rideable animals?
Yep.
Thought as much.
There's the tentacle sex stuff.
I beg your pardon.
Remember in the movie the hair attaching, and that's how they
made a gameplay mechanic out of that.
Well,
is there a little hacking mini game? You stick your little tentacle into someone's butts and then hack your way to their G spot.
You know, it wouldn't put
do
it
a little
past it.
Dream puzzle in their brain.
It's possible. I mean, they didn't really show off anything off. It's just another engine teaser. You know, we got a more Far Cry 6. I think the one game you might be slightly more interested in is a sequel.
You keep saying that.
I know. But Mario Rabbids, a sequel to Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Well, I was kind of arid on the first one, so I don't particularly care about that.
This one has more exploration, open-ended combat, and like expanding it to a full...
So it's taking the one interesting one thing it did, that which was to focus on turn-based XCOM-style combat, and instead drifting more towards the middle where it's just the same bullshit every time.
People are comparing it to Divinity Original Sin for some reason.
Okay.
She also didn't play and didn't like, so.
Nah, not really.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's E3, so when you look at Battlefield 2042.
Yes, I did hear that name.
You get to.
You know, when I saw an advert for that, I was thinking, is that a free release?
No, there is Battlefield 2142, which is full
yes,
future.
Yes, I seem to remember there was already a Battlefield in the future, but this is not that.
Yeah. That's
okay.
It's a near future, and their big hook this time is 128 player battles with dynamic weather, like big storms that will change
so
the
Battlefield. So the big hook is Battle Royale?
No, there is no Battle Royale yet.
Just 120 player.
128 players, Jeez. And then like weather effects that will change the entire map.
Okay, meaning?
Like there's a map with a giant tornado coming through that will affect the gameplay of, you know, like actually affects the map and can suck players up into it, and you have a wingsuit, and if you get sucked up into it, you might be flying around shooting at people. Sandstorms okay. that'll completely change, you know, the dynamic of the player field by taking away your visibility. There's a ice map where you're fighting in the Arctic, where I guess the ice is cracking and melting away as you're fighting.
So it's more Battlefield large deathmatch arenas, but shit bollocks you around.
Pretty much. More Battlefield. More exactly what people wanted that play the series like me.
Right. What they wanted was more Battlefield. And now they're going to get more Battlefield, but shit keeps distracting them from the bits they like.
Yep. Well, it's their new take on Levolution.
What?
Remember the marketing term for destructible buildings in Battlefield 4?
I've never
4?
Heard the term Levolution, because if anyone said that, I would slap them.
Yeah, that was the term for their big destruction events was Levolution, because it was changing the level of demolition.
Levolution. Okay, yeah. Yeah, people have been talking that up since Red Faction, and it's never been that great.
What else? I have to, like, there's so much announced I have to go through, and I'm trying to think of things that... Oh, well, you remember during E3 2019 when we saw Dying Light 2, and you're like, that looked too scripted to be
Certainly
real.
Did.
And then, of course, it got delayed, and people are talking about, you know, the big development changes happened behind the scenes. Well, for the Xbox conference, we got our first... possibly real look at Stalker 2, which gave off the same vibes to me.
Uh-huh.
Where they showed very, very polished gameplay that looks better than anything else I've ever seen.
Have they seriously not gotten to 2 yet?
Yep.
I mean, there was the first Stalker and Stalker Clear Sky, and I'm sure there's been others.
Call of Pripyat, I think it was called.
Yeah, Call of Pripyat.
Yeah.
And now they finally got to 2.
Yep, and
that'd be interesting to see, because I remember Stalker was a pretty hardcore game, the first one. That's what a lot of people liked about it.
Yeah, this looked a lot more Metro-like.
Mainstream?
But yeah.
A bit more drifting towards the middle where all the other bullshit where everyone does the same fucking thing. More of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we got roasted for this one because we put up a video that, like, mainly I was very skeptical that the game is going to look anything like it was shown because...
Right, it was scripted.
It was a scripted gameplay in-engine teaser, and overall, like, it's supposed to be a massive open world with that level of fidelity, and I'm not on board with it yet. And the main reason for that is because, like, GSC as a studio is not the GSC that was around when Stalker originally came out. They went through all that turmoil, and the only game they've released since that is Cossacks 3, which is like a RTS that did okay on Steam. And so, I mean, this game looks like, you know, quadruple A level, you know, production quality from them. And I'm just not sure. Like, you know, when people were kind of roasting us on this, like, I was like, you saw like three different areas in the game, all scripted. Mm-hmm. Until I see somebody with a controller in their hand and the scale of that world and all that going on, then, you know, then I'll believe it.
Yes. If it's too good to be true, it often isn't. I'm glad you're learning.
I learned after Cyberpunk. I mean, I had always known that, but like Cyberpunk, I gave the benefit of the doubt because of how good Witcher was. And so,
well, yeah, Witcher 3 was really good. So I think a lot of people were giving it the benefit of the
and
doubt.
Even like Sony with Horizon Zero Dawn, like, you know, Guerrilla went from first person shooters to very good open world game, so it's not out of the realm for games to look like that and play like that. But yeah, just GSC like doesn't have the benefit of the doubt because they don't have anything to show for the last 15 years that would match anything of that quality. And the only reason, like, I'm not for sure on that, obviously, but like Microsoft is pushing that game in every conference they've done. And I feel like Microsoft wouldn't put that there if they didn't see something that impressed them and made them confident enough to make it almost a showcase, like a one of the very early showcase titles in their presentation.
Well, that's assuming they're human beings who get excited about things and have emotions as we understand them.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if you would push a game like that so hard if you didn't believe they could achieve that.
Or you just really want to make as much money as possible on opening weekend before word of mouth gets around.
Well, it's going straight to Game Pass, so.
There you go.
Yeah. As far as other big announcements, I know you mentioned before we got into the stream, Starfield. Starfield has a release date of November 11th.
What do we know about Starfield now?
Nothing really. November 11th, 2022 is described as Skyrim in space.
I'm guessing we didn't see any gameplay footage?
No, just an engine tease. But that's par for the course for Bethesda. I think they only released... We were talking about this before the Nintendo Direct today, where I think you only got a release date really because I think they just didn't want people to be asking them every month until it was out, when is this game coming? So you give yourselves a release date, you avoid that kind of discussion, and when it's ready to be shown off, you do it. And that's exactly what they did for Skyrim and Fallout 4.
Yes, well... Remember the rule, kids. If all they have is a pre-rendered teaser, it officially doesn't count. Yeah. If they have first 5 minutes of gameplay, it's probably pre-rendered anyway.
Yeah. But there's some details in there that I am interested in. Like, I'm getting big The Expanse vibes for it, and I'm sure you don't watch that show. But
no.
The premise of the game seems to be a lot more about exploration and mystery and storytelling over just let's go shoot and kill everything, which has me mildly interested.
People are saying it's been described as like Skyrim in space, but I wonder what that means.
Just, I guess,
can you just like pick a direction in space and go and run into missions?
Yep, that's what they're referring to, is, you know, open-ended RPG where you do whatever you want. Play however you want kind of thing.
I would think most directions, if you go in space, you just run into more space.
Yeah.
So are you actually like got a ship that can freely move in space, or is it just a bunch of loosely connected planet sandboxes? What Outer Worlds was.
The teaser shows you getting into a ship, so I would assume there's going to be free exploration like that. When we were talking about it in the post show, we were kind of thinking like it might be something like out the Outer Wilds and how you traverse. But yeah, I'm not really.
Well, I'm going to assume that it's just going to be a bunch of separate planets that you fast travel between, because I am a cynic, and being able to freely move in space is something that would make me feel better, and I hate feeling better.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those. We'll see. Hey, quit.
Right. Now, I'd like a free roam space game, not just where you go anywhere in space, but where you can like get out of your ship's cockpit and walk around your ship as well.
That's the vibe I'm getting from it. Like
That's why I'm making a game where you can do that.
Yeah, and I know everybody's kind of up in arms about them staying on the Creation Engine, but it's Creation Engine 2, and it really is like a whole new engine. It's not just upgraded from what they were doing. I mean, they've been working on this new engine for years now.
Well, whatever.
Yep, so it's just one of those games, you know, much like Stalker, wait till you see it kind of thing. Not a whole lot to say on it.
You can't get excited because there's nothing to get excited about. Yep. We literally know nothing at this point.
Yeah, as far as... Well, you liked Inside, right?
You mean Limbo 2?
Yep, Limbo 2.
You mean walk to the side until the game says stop, platformer?
Yes.
It certainly was a thing. Are they doing another one?
Well, the co-founder went off and formed their own studio called Jumpship, and it's called Somerville. That's the new game they're working on, and it kind of looks like Inside with expanded gameplay elements.
Okay, so it's an indie game where it's a platformer and you walk to the right until it says to stop.
With beautiful... No, that's when you walk to the left.
Oh, well, that'll teach me. Little did I expect that sort of innovation would be unfolding in the world of Fantasy Games.
Yeah. Planet of Lana is the one where you walk right to the right and has a beautiful Studio Ghibli art style for a side-scrolling platformer.
Whatever.
Another game I know you're going to be excited about, Guardians of the Galaxy from Eidos Montreal, who made Deus Ex.
That is another thing I saw the name of, like, on Twitter, and my first question was, is this going to be the new Marvel's Avengers?
Nope.
Or have they actually gotten, like, the actors' likenesses for this one?
No, they did not get the actors' likenesses, but this one is a single-player story-adventure game.
I mean, really?
But the gameplay looks just as bad as Avengers.
I mean, what's the point? I assume they're trying to, like, tie in with the audience of the Marvel movies. I mean, how much more can it cost to get the actors' likenesses?
I don't know. Because Square Enix doesn't want to pump the money for it, but... I don't think Yahtzee's going to be excited about these.
You think they'd have like a standing deal for the actors' likenesses if it's like an official Disney Marvel thing?
Well, that's what makes me curious about it. I mean, I think they more want it. I mean, first of all, I don't know like how much the actors want. I think they're just trying to do their own style, so they're not like, once those actors aren't in the role anymore, they don't have to rely on them.
It uses the same like imagery as the Marvel movies. Like the Avengers used like the same logo, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Guardians of the Galaxy logo is slightly different for this, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to pull it up and look, but I think the when we did our post show on this one, the main criticism we have is that you play as a oh, God, what's Chris Pratt's character's name? Star-Lord? Yeah, that's who you play as. Out of all the characters they could have let you play as, that's the one in the gameplay.
Well, that makes sense to me. He's just like the audience surrogate human character, isn't he?
He is. It's just like his gameplay looked so boring already in the pre-show. And like I said, I'm trying not to be super cynical on this stuff. But
what sort of gameplay is it? I mean, let me try and hazard a guess. Third person, yes?
Yep.
And it's shooty combat, yes?
Yep.
Let me think.
Think about UI elements.
Is it open world?
No.
Are you sure? How ambiguous is the footage?
We think there's going to be like planets with like side missions on them, but a main story thread to follow.
Okay, right. So I'm thinking in a sort of Jedi Fallen Order sort of area.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's also
shooting, the dude in the films, he had like rocky boots or something, so I'm guessing there'd be some like platforming, some parkour-y sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it all sounds pretty generic so far. do you run along walls at any point?
Didn't see that.
Okay. Hovering in the air shooting dudes.
Just very unimpactful combat from what we saw in the trailer. Lots of health bars and numbers and flashy things on screen.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like Marvel Avengers.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I don't know. That's like the only really big announcement stuff. I know you weren't huge on A Plague Tale Innocence, but I really liked it, and we're getting a sequel to that.
Oh.
Death Stranding is getting a director's cut.
Okay, one boggles to think what Hideo Kojima left out of that game.
we went some speculation on that too, where I think because he mentioned in like the trailer for it, like he's heard the feedback on it and everything and took it to heart, that I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe offer some different ways to play the game that like removes a lot of the backtracking to shorten the time of the game.
Uh-huh. See, I assume the point was like the slow
it is
through the countryside.
It is. It's just extremely boring for me.
Well, I assume boring was the point. I assume it was intended to be a sort of contemplative experience.
Yeah, I got into a discussion about that on Twitter about fun versus engaging.
Well, even like I mean, even something that's just, you know, something to pass the time while you listen to a podcast or something.
But yeah,
I'm just saying, Hideo Kojima could have like combined the podcast with the boring game with that.
Yeah,
if he just let us listen to audio logs over gameplay, like nobody does.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of those games like I really appreciate for what it is, and I know I want to play and really just spend time, like let myself sink into it and try to finish it.
I've been meaning to replay it at some point. I got my PS4 in my living room.
Let's.
Trouble is, I can only play like games for like an hour. Yeah. In the evening after the baby's gone to bed, and I don't think Death Stranding should be experienced 1 hour per day. I think that's the sort of thing you need to have big sessions with. You know.
How about we do this for the chat? Before the end of this year, you and I will sit down and play Death Stranding. And then bring our thoughts to slightly something else.
All right, I'm game.
Okay.
I'll try to figure that out at some point.
I will plan my life around Death Stranding. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, the AAA stuff, like, honest to God, like, I think there's very little you're going to be very excited about.
Well, so far, it's just a new brace of open worlds and everything drifting back to the action stealth combat void.
Yeah,
that is the center of all things. But
I was just going to say that the Left 4 Dead likes are here in full force now.
They've been pumping those out. I mean, even what was it? They announced that like new Suicide Squad game and like the Gotham Knights game that was like 4-player, and it sounds like both of those were going for the 4-player. Mm-hmm. Left 4 Dead style arrangement. And then there's like Back 4 Blood, which is actually by the Left 4 Dead guys, as I understand it.
Yep.
Which has more than 4 characters. I don't know why they still put a 4 in the title.
Yep, Back 4 Blood, Aliens Fireteam, Rainbow Six Extraction. There was a new game from the writer of Portal 2 and his new studio. That's
Eric Walpole.
Yep. No. I forgot his name. Chad's going to have to put it in there. I keep forgetting that it's such a weird name for a game.
Because Eric Walpole was the dude who like wrote Psychonauts and then moved to Valve, where he wrote Portal.
Yeah, let me pull it up real quick for you. It was
Chet Felicek. Okay, the other one. Because Eric Walpole and Chet Felicek were both parts of Old Man Murray back in the day.
Yeah, Chet Felicek, however you say his last name, and the game is called The Anacrusis, and it looks like a almost like Star Trek-y Left 4 Dead-esque game.
I met both those guys, by the way, on my trip to Valve way back in 2008. Nice guys.
But, yeah, I think as far as big games, like, I know you're not going to give a damn at all about Halo Infinite.
Almost certainly not. Because I already know about that is that it's another Halo game where they find Master Chief in space.
Yep. And they've retconned Cortana already, which shows me.
That was like the one interesting thing they'd done. Like Cortana turned evil in the last game.
Yep, they have fully clothed Cortana now.
Piss on your balls.
That's what Twitter's mad about, I guess. I was like,
piss on your balls, Halo Infinite.
But I'm
piss
interested
on all your balls.
Oh, Chad is mentioning a game that I don't. Okay, so this one you might find slightly interesting, and I legit mean that this time. So Arcane Austin announced their game, their next game. Mm-hmm. They made Prey. This one is called Redfall. It's an open world solo or cooperative shooter with vampires setting. But before you get too cynical about it, it still is going to retain all of the immersive sim design that Arcane Austin is known for.
All right.
And it has a full story.
But they were
known
for from their game Prey that everyone has now forgotten about because it was kind of boring.
I think more people like Prey than you think, but
I'm sure, but it's funny how everyone stopped talking about that, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, when I think back to Prey, I think, yeah, it's a perfectly competently made game doing some interesting things. I have no interest in replaying it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt about it. And mostly, I didn't think the gameplay itself was that great, like the shooting mechanics or anything. Everything just felt kind of not very mostly impactful. Everything felt like
I guess it just felt
kind
of bland.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like bland, sort of like you were in an office building rather than a spaceship and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. yeah, I'm curious how Arcane Austin handles multiplayer in that sense, and I don't know, an immersive sim open world with cooperative elements, like that's interesting to me. I can see some cool stuff coming out of that.
See, you think that's interesting. I know that once you add any kind of multiplayer to a narrative experience, it saps this impact of the story.
Yeah.
I keep saying this, you don't, like, narrative gameplay automatically loses something in multiplayer. You don't read books with more than one person.
Yeah, it's such a wild card for them, so I'm just mostly out of curiosity. Like, I agree with you, I'm just mostly out of curiosity, unsure of what they're going to do.
I was going to ask if the main character was an anthropomorphic rat, but then I thought, wait, that's Red Wall, isn't it?
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask specifically about was the Nintendo showcase, which was this morning.
Yep, was just going to bring that up. A lot of stuff that I'm not interested in, I don't think a lot of the stuff you'd be interested in either, like lots of more remake stuff, like Advance Wars is coming back with a remake of the original first two games.
Yeah, whatever. I'm asking because I saw the word Metroid being thrown about.
And yeah.
That is something that I might theoretically be interested in.
Metroid, I already forgot that. It's a weird subtitle name. Let me pull it up real quick. Metroid Dread, which you might remember hearing about all the way back in 2005.
I remember them talking up Metroid Prime 4 at one point.
Yeah. They showed us
a logo.
Yeah, that was...
That's the last we heard of it.
That was rebooted like a year or two ago. But Metroid Dread is a new side-scroller Metroid game. And it looked pretty good. It looked pretty good.
Okay, I was kind of holding out for a new Metroid Prime, but okay.
Yeah, not yet. And then
side-scrolly, like a Metroid Zero Mission, or whatever that new one was. But what was that 3DS one?
No idea.
It was like a remake of one of the early ones.
Is it not called Fusion, right?
No, that was the GBA one. Samus Returns.
Samus Returns.
I think it was. Yep, yes, thank you, Morphball.
Yep.
Ooh, appropriate name there.
And then, of course, sorry if you hear the excavator outside my window. They're replacing a single part of the sidewalk. But Breath of the Wild 2 was, we finally got our first actual gameplay look.
Right, is that the same one that got announced ages ago and it looked like basically just like a mission pack?
No, Breath of the Wild 2, like we were, oh, I guess so, yeah. It was, you saw it at E3 2019. We were at the B&B. They released that little teaser, and then they were quiet about it for a year, 2 years, and now it's aiming for 2022. But they didn't show off like enough to like get me super excited about yet. Like the main difference is that like you're still in Hyrule, but now there's the whole like sky area because all the ground is being lifted up into the sky. So they showed off some like new time mechanics and new puzzle mechanics, and we were speculating. So
now they're bringing Skyward Sword into the Breath of the Wild formula.
Yeah, and then I think we were speculating that there's going to be an underground portion for the game too, because you know the sky's being lifted out of the grounds. I mean, the ground's being lifted to the sky, so there's probably some of this stuff going on there.
But okay,
just not a real big look just yet.
Well, less news is probably bad news.
I don't know if it'd be bad news. I just think Nintendo's
That's the main. That's the question you keep asking yourself throughout E3 footage. You have to ask yourself, what aren't they showing me, and why don't they want me to see it?
Yeah. Well, like I said at the start of the stream, part of that is, you know, just the pandemic slowed everything down, so they're kind of giving us what they can. But boy, they're like, yeah, Microsoft and Nintendo are really the only ones that really had any notable conference. Like, oh man, I wish you were there. I wish you were there for Koch Media's Prime Matter showcase. So this is a brand new label, which is actually publishing like quite a few interesting AA indie stuff. And they're the publisher I told you about that's bringing back Painkiller. But for their, so this showcase was the worst showcase I have ever seen from E3 in my 12 years of covering it.
Well, that's making me curious now. Now I am excited.
Yeah, so behind the scenes, when we did our press preview of it, like, we got a look at a lot of these interesting games. Like, there was like two different Souls-likes in there that were pretty interesting. One's called Dolmen, and the other one's called The Last Orokru. And The Last Orokru was actually like a Souls-like, but very RPG, where like talking affects a lot of what's happening in the world instead of just combat. It was an interesting concept. It didn't look great gameplay-wise.
There's been dialogue in Souls-likes. Lords of the Fallen had conversations.
Had conversations, but not like every choice you make affects different things throughout the world. I kind of got outward vibes from it.
Yeah, choices matter, that of course. It has a lot of interpretations.
But yeah, so first I want you to guess, how long do you think this showcase was? They're going to show
how
off,
long?
They were going to show off 12 games.
12 games. So if it was a particularly bad showcase, I'm guessing they didn't have much time for each game.
Oh, we'll take a guess at how long you think it was.
Okay, 10 minutes.
2 hours.
2 hours?
And in that 2 hours, we saw a grand total of 16 minutes of gameplay. The other hour and 40 minutes were developer interviews with no B-roll, no nothing.
Oh, God. Yeah, that sounds very, very bad.
It was awful. Like, we turned it into a drinking game. It was so bad.
That sounds like a chore to get through.
That was, oh my God. Like, I fell asleep during the Cyberpunk presentation back in 2019. If I wasn't drinking during this one, I would have been just knocked on my ass. Like, that was the worst showcase. So then, but it gets better. So Capcom did their E3 showcase for some reason and showed off nothing new. Square Enix did a presentation, and I know you heard the rumors about that, like, Final Fantasy Souls-like game.
I hadn't heard, actually.
Okay, well, I'm just going to let you go watch a trailer for that one, and you could probably just do a review on that, because it is about the cringiest trailer, I think, that came out of E3.
Fantasy Souls-like?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then Babylon's Fall from Platinum was showing off in that, too, which kind of looked interesting.
Oh, Platinum are doing something, are they?
Oh, no, don't you wait. Just you wait. It's a live service 4-player co-op game.
Okay, I'm not interested anymore. Platinum usually does like really interesting stuff. They do like, but they do like Bayonetta and...
This game has a corporate meddling written all over it.
I guess they've been less interesting lately. Wasn't the last thing they did that Astral Chain thing?
Yeah, and they have Scarlet Nexus dropping in like a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, they got boring. It started with Beautiful Joe, and they've just gotten boring.
And I really started off this stream saying, I'm going to try to not be super cynical, but the more I talk about it, I'm like,
I'm probably rubbing off on you. I apologize for that.
that's okay. I mean, all right, so like, I'm not super cynical about the games I saw. It's just like E3 as a whole. I'm like, man, it's like, This year was just, I was hoping for a bit more this year. Chat's mentioning a game called Contraband. So this game, you're probably not going to find this game interesting because it's multiplayer, but it's a new game from Avalanche Software, or Avalanche Studios. I always get the two mixed up. Avalanche Software is making the Harry Potter game. Avalanche Studios makes Just Cause. And this is a new multiplayer smuggling heist game with Mad Max driving mechanics. And there's actually, apparently, from Joe's Corden at Windows Central, very little combat in it, actually.
Well, from that description, it sounds vaguely intriguing.
Yeah, the description's intriguing, but all we got was some weird pre-rendered CGI teaser for it, so nothing to show for it yet.
Never mind, then. We officially know nothing.
Yep. Chat's also mentioning an indie game called Replaced, which has some honestly amazing, like, 2D, 3D... pixel art style. It kind of, if you remember The Last Night, it gave off a lot of, we actually thought it was that in the stream. It's one you should probably look up when we're done. I think that one might interest you a bit.
Replaced,
yep.
So I'm guessing there's some kind of central game mechanic centering around something being replaced, sort of like The Swapper.
Haven't had a chance to dig into it yet. Marty, Casey, and I are going to do like our, or I think Marty and I are just going to do our big indie roundup later this week for all that stuff.
Okay.
Salt and Sanctuary is getting a sequel. I think you like that one.
That's
oh yeah,
coming out of nowhere a bit.
Chet is also reminding me of the biggest reveal of E3 2021, and this happened during the Prime Matter showcase.
Okay.
Kingdom Come Deliverance is releasing Bars of Soap.
A game that literally had a mechanic about how being dirty affects your relationship with the people you talk to is releasing soap.
Yeah, I don't think it was actually supposed to be shown in the showcase because the PR, Toby, who runs PR for it, immediately like messaged me while the showcase was airing. He's like, I don't know what the fuck is happening right now.
Well, I guess, I mean, it makes sense for a game with a cleanliness mechanic.
Well, the tagline on the soap was that you could smell like a medieval man. And we were kind of like wondering, what does that smell like? Rotting cheese?
Like shit. Yeah. Like everything else in medieval times, it smells shit like
rotting
shit.
Cheese.
Yeah. So why are they releasing soap? Are they putting out a new game?
No, Kingdom Come Deliverance is coming to the Switch.
And therefore soap.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think that was supposed to be part of the presentation, because he's just kind of like, I don't know what the hell just happened.
Well, I've seen weirder freebies.
Yeah.
At the last E3, for example. When, like, they gave me a hip flask at the Contra Road Corps booth.
Mm. And a really bright and yellow cyberpunk jacket that totally fits your style.
Yes.
I didn't even take one. Which
I think I gave to Mike.
Yeah, you did. I don't know.
There was some weird stuff from that. What was the weird stuff we got? I got like a pig mask at the Watch Dogs.
Oh
Legion,
yeah,
booth.
You got the pig mask. Yeah, I didn't take any of the swag, or if I did, I just gave it away to people while I was there.
Yeah, me too.
Chat wants us to talk about Atomic Heart. There's just not a lot to talk about for that yet. Like, we've seen trailers. I think I think you know what it is, but it's
Atomic Heart.
Yeah.
Help me out.
It's a first-person shooter by a Russian developer. I forget what it's called, but it's got like big Fallout kind of Metro vibes to it, but like with a really weird like robots and stuff. And it's kind
of I remember seeing a sort of teaser video for that at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we do some super chats?
Yeah, we can. I guess there's a Devolver Digital Conference too, but...
Oh, were they taking the piss again?
Yeah, absolutely. This year was all about hot dogs.
Okay.
It was a pretty funny one this year. I could actually understand what's happening. But, of course, you know what to expect from Devolver Digital. Shadow Warrior 3 and all kinds of really interesting-looking titles. Oh, man, there was one...
Do we know what they're doing with Shadow Warrior 3? The last one, they were just adding like co-op, right?
Yeah, Shadow Warrior 3 basically looks like Chinese Doom.
Well, that's the hot thing.
Yeah.
Since Doom 2016.
So much so that like there are enemies in the game that look almost ripped out of Doom. Like the big fat things with cannons and all that kind of look like they're in there and stuff. So
those show up everywhere. They showed up in Serious Sam before First Encounter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants their own Mancubus.
But, yeah, I mean, there's so much, you know, usually when we have E3, there's 4, 5 maybe conferences, and this year, like, we just couldn't even keep up. There were, like, 10 different conferences.
Yeah, that's the trouble with a digital show, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, there was Wholesome Games Direct and two Guerrilla Collectives, and I don't even know anymore.
At least with an in-person event, you filter out all the people who can't afford show space.
Yeah, it's just such a clusterfuck to plan and
clusterfuck.
you can tell I'm super tired.
Chats. Super chats.
All right.
Oh well, relevantly, Sora383 gives $6.99 Canadian dollars to say, Yahtzee, don't pick on Nick too much. He's been streaming all weekend. Yes, look at him. Look at that poor lamb. You wish you had Nick's job. Getting to bullshit about video games all day.
Oh yeah.
David Kalanex gives 10 euros to say, do you think E3 events show each year a degree of maturing of the gaming industry as a whole, or do they show an industry that only follows tendencies, controversies, and bandwagons more and more? I've been covering E3 for years, and frankly, it all feels the same. It's all just the mask. There's so little humanity there.
Yeah, that's one of the criticisms I had of like Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest. Is like, I mean, this year really felt like advertising. It's obviously all marketing and advertising, but like this one, like, you know, so much Call of Duty and mobile battle royale games and all that kind of stuff. And like, he talks about pushing the industry forward with Summer Games Fest, and like, it just doesn't feel like that yet. And that's, you know, he has a chance, and I've said it before, like, he has the power and chance to humanize this stuff a bit more, get the developers a bit more involved, and not just marketing presentations. And it's just not happening.
Well, that's the important thing is to get names back, I suppose. Like, get people to associate specific individuals with games rather than just specific studios.
Right. And I mean, yeah, there's like no developers really on stage. You know, like Hideo Kojima Hideo Kojima gets his cameo, and that's really about it. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the day like we really get into the events that like really highlight the developer. Even the Game Awards doesn't do it. Like, you spend 2 minutes out of a 2-hour show talking about awards, and that's it.
Mm.
So it's not really like ever. I don't feel like any of this stuff really celebrates the devs. Like, it's great for them to show off their work, but it's not really showing the people. And it's so E3, like, just reading the chats and everything just feels so disconnected from it.
Andrew Hickenbottom gives 2 great British pounds to say Cynic the Yacht's Hog. Thanks, Andrew Hickenbottom. You're a very witty person. Matthew Stone gives $50. Holy shit, check out money bags over here. To say, question for Yahtzee, I know an amateur author, and I'm afraid her current project is getting too big, i.e. bloated baby. How do you keep your writing focused on the main plot without getting too distracted? Well, you know what I'm going to say if you follow my Dev Diary series, and that's focus on the primary gameplay loop. The way you've written that, it's a little ambiguous what your friend is working on, but if they're working on a game, focus on the primary gameplay loop, focus on the moment-to-moment experience and making sure that that's fun and intuitive, and if there's any features they've added that gets in the way of making that fun and intuitive, strip it out. Throw it away. If it does not spread joy, throw it away. That's the basics, I suppose. And same principle if it's not a game, if they're writing a story or something, focus on the moment-to-moment experience. Are we having fun? If not, fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Good general rule, I think. Matthew Stone gives another $50.
Well,
blimey, he's Mr. Captain Ultra Moneybag, who asks more for Nick so he doesn't feel left out. Maybe he'll actually write a book or pamphlet of toxic gamer rules.
I don't think that would be received so well, but I think it might be funny to do like a goofy animated pamphlet of that and mostly talk the shit out of toxic gamers.
Scavenger gives $5 to say, so Yahtzee, we knew you wouldn't get excited about E3. Was there anything you were hoping for hardware wise, franchise wise, or cancelled game wise? Well, no, I don't really hope for anything. I've been burned one too many times. I vaguely wanted to hear a bit more about Elden Ring.
Mm.
And the more I've heard about that, the less excited I get.
I think Elden Ring will be fine. And yeah, like that's kind of
something. Like, it feels like it's losing focus from a primary gameplay loop perspective.
Maybe.
It feels like it's coming detached, which it's a problem with a lot of open world gameplay.
I don't know. I think From Software's got enough behind their belt to show like they can do it.
Granted, but we thought the same thing about Witcher 3.
Oh, well, you mean with Cyberpunk?
Yeah, we thought Witcher 3 that should surely buy the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I think
it's never too late to fuck things up.
I think at least the case with Cyberpunk is you got mostly what, like, you reviewed it. You got mostly what you expected in terms of like it's a story and it's got some side missions, but I think it was more their own expectations of building out this super dense and detailed world with a lot to do. So I don't know. Elden Ring seems, again, it just seems like a natural evolution to me, where like every game has been pretty close to open world, just not fully open world. And you're still getting like the dungeons and everything. It's not just open world, do everything you want. It's, you know, this area has a specific dungeon in it with all the same level design and everything you've come to expect from the series. Just more of do it in the order you want to do it. And even then, they said there's still going to be limitations to being able to do that.
Well, I'd hope so. I mean, they always bring up like, oh, do things how you want to do it as a selling point. But I always think the result of that is a lack of focus and ultimately hurts the experience.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
That's the main problem with Jiminy Cockthroat that I keep bringing up.
Yeah, I think, at least for me, like, I just want to explore more from Software's world. So I'm excited to have more freedom to do so. Going off the beaten path to find secret weapons or bosses and all that, that's exciting to me.
Yeah, thinking about it, it's probably why we're seeing so many like Left 4 Dead likes coming out now, because they're starting to realize that there's the open world market sort of gotten overdone.
Oh yeah, well, and Game Pass exists now; it's an easy sell.
All right, Meister Kleister Heist Air gives €5 to say, Yahtzee, do you have any interesting stories about your visit to Valve? What was Gabe Newell like? What did they all think of your Portal review? Oh, they loved my Portal review. That's why they invited me.
I forgot.
It was after that. Love that. Gabe Newell, very no-nonsense fellow, as I recall. Very no-nonsense, a little bit intimidating, especially for little old me, who was only like, how old was I in 2008? I would have been like 25. So I was in like a big nervous panic the whole time.
I would, I forgot to give you the Gabe Newell announcement that it was E3.
Oh, really?
Yes. PC Gamer Show made it a big point that he was going to be in their conference, and they said a message from Gabe Newell was going to be there, and the rumor was that Valve was going to announce like a handheld PC, you know, Switch-esque thing.
Ooh.
And all he was there to do was basically say hello and that the Steam Next Fest or whatever was happening.
Okay.
And that was it.
He just like... Was that just like a Steam sale?
Yeah, and like demos and all that for the games at the E3 conferences. That's why he was there.
I don't even know what he does all day anymore.
Doesn't wear shoes
ever. Play World of Warcraft, I assume.
Who knows? Oh man, that was a funny... I can't believe they marketed that message from Gabe Newell.
Yeah, sound like they oversold it a bit.
Oh, I mean, it was like a prime focus for them. Gabe Newell's going to be here. That was like E3 moment.
Well, what's interesting about my trip to there in like back in 2008 was that it ended up turning into a job interview, because you know, they brought me over just to like hang out, and they were like, you know, we're kind of interested you in a person. Do you want to go through like the interview process that we have, see if you like be a good fit for the team? And I was like, fuck yeah. And that, and then what followed was probably one of the most harrowing weeks of my life. Because it was like a week-long process. I mean, Valve can hire whoever they want. I mean, they're very, very particular about who they bring on. And there was one incident where they just called me into a meeting room with a couple of guys and said, come on, come in here. We're going to do a thing. It'll be fun.
On the spot.
And they gave me a whiteboard pen and said, there's a whiteboard. Pitch to us at a new level for the next Half-Life game. Go.
God.
And with no prep whatsoever, and I had to like improvise on the fly.
And how did that go?
Apparently I did pretty well in that interview that they told me afterwards.
What could have
been? Anyway, Aditya gives 100 INR Indian rupees, I think. He says, hey, did you know there's a site called uberduck.ai that makes anything typed out sound exactly like any person, and you're on it? Crazy, eh? Yes, I think I noticed that. Because someone like linked me to it on Twitter, and I've like heard someone like my synthesized me voice, and it sounds like I'm talking with a mouth full of cotton wool after I got back from the dentist. But I guess it's kind of interesting.
I wonder, like, you know, the deep fakes and everything, and having voices and all that, like, kind of that stuff.
Oh, I think there are ways from deep faking a zero
population voice. Yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, like, how far off are we from that stuff? And I don't know, it just creeps me out, that stuff.
Well, this is why it's important to get offline now and then, I suppose.
So people
focus on the real people around you.
Yep.
Sora383 gives $6.99 Canadian dollars to say, I wouldn't have the patience for Nick's job. Anime smiley. Also, since you like Persona, Yahtzee, any interest in the Shin Megami Tensei series?
Oh yeah, SMT5 was announced at the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, I haven't played any of those. I've only played Persona, which I really like, as you know. But everything I hear about Shin Megami Tensei just sounds like it's just the JRPG battling stuff from Persona, but it's less fun. But it's more like serious and blah-de-blah.
Chat has goaded me into trying Persona 5 sometime this year as well. So I have Death Stranding and now Persona 5.
Goaded, yeah, I think I was helping, wasn't I?
Yeah, you kicked it off and now they won't leave me alone about it. So partially your fault, partially Chat's fault.
Well, you were the one who wanted to play games from Japan and Persona's hot shit over there.
Well, I will learn this year.
Okay.
At some point.
Yeah, everyone's saying it's like grim, dark Persona. So, yeah. But one of the things I like about Persona is that it's lighthearted and fun. Scavenger gives $5 to say, now that the recap is over, are you going to go back and watch any of E3's presentations? Other than Devolver, obviously. Hadn't planned to, frankly. I was just going to get my lunch and then play more Ratchet and Clank today, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any reason for you to go back and watch.
No, I always like relish being able to play a game knowing absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah.
Just to, like, go in and let it all surprise me without letting it feed off any hype.
Yeah, there's quite a few indie games that we saw that went through my head, like, yeah, that looks like a Yahtzee game that he's going to enjoy. And, like, one of them is Loot River, which I'll just, like, let you look up on your own time.
Okay. Well, I'll just remember the titles, so when they come out, I will play them.
Yeah.
Because that is the only time I will know if they're good.
Yeah,
I have played them.
Loot River and another game called Death Trash. Look right up.
Loot River?
Yep, Loot River. And it's not. It's a roguelite with a twist on it, I think. And you would.
Well, everything's roguelite with a twist.
Well, it's got an interesting mechanic that we haven't seen before, so.
Okay. Ian Cassidy gives $5 to say, you know E3 is bad when Halo Infinite is one of the better looking games to appear, and I'm saying this as a fan of Halo.
Michael Phelps.
So they've fixed the...
Go ahead.
They fixed the appearance of Halo Infinite now?
Yeah, I mean, the visuals, you know, look good enough. I mean, it's still a cross-gen title. We didn't really see more of the campaign. We got a teaser, but, you know, multiplayer looks like it's back to basics. Classic Halo, which is what the fans wanted, and it's really all I'm expecting out of Halo is more Halo for...
This was my point when you were bringing up that new Battlefield that's got tornadoes and shit.
Yep.
What people want at the end of the day is, you know, getting more back to basics.
Yep.
Simplification. Not like with all this distracting bollocks.
Yeah, I mean, I think open world games in general and everything like that are just keep adding. It's like, no, we just want what we like.
Yes. And then after a few years of that, when everything's turned into a big mess, they do the Resident Evil thing or the Doom thing where they just bring it all back to basics and bring out a game that everyone likes, and then the whole process starts again.
Yep.
Up Shepherd gives $5 to say, long time listener, first time caller. I hope you're well. Love your content, Yahtzee. Nick, you're okay too. I'm sure Nick appreciates that. How would you improve E3 going forward? Well, making it in person again would help.
Yeah, I want them. I mean, like we were just talking about simplifying things, right? Like simplify the conferences, organize it better, make it more about the developers. I don't know, which obviously isn't going to happen, but I don't know how much. Yeah, like I want E3 in person specifically for the experience of being around everybody and getting to film. Not even for E3, just getting to film like the diaries we did in 2019. Like that was a lot of fun. We made it fun. And that's the only reason I'm really looking forward to it again at some point.
Yeah, it's a good thing something fun came out of all that.
Right.
Last two super chats. I'm going to say no more super chats. If you give any super chats now, we'll be very grateful, of course, but I won't be reading them out. That's the rule. Physicsfox.org gives £2.22 Great British Pounds to say Psychonauts 2, release date, thoughts, rough.
It looks pretty good. Out in August.
Yeah, fine. I will play it and then I'll let you know.
Yep, we did miss one. Michael Phelps donated $5, says, I haven't heard if Nick has said anything about SMT5 that was announced. We did do that. Would be your thoughts on that? So we already went through that. But thank you for the $5.
Would imagine that. And Scavenger, again, gives another $5 to say, last bit, Danganronpa collection on Switch. Can we get a review of Phoenix Wright meets Saw? No. You know, I keep hearing about these Danganronpa games. I haven't played any, and everyone's everyone keeps talking them up.
That was me during the direct stream. Marty's like, "You ever played these?" He's like, "Uh-uh." I'm like, well,
people keep saying they're good, and from what I've heard, they sound interesting. I just haven't had time to look into them.
People are mentioning the new Borderlands game too, with Wonderlands, with Tiny Tina as the main character, and it's basically D&D meets Borderlands. That's exactly the response I expected, so that's why I didn't say anything, Chip. So, I don't know. E3 is E3, and Summer Game Fest is kind of what all that was, so I think,
on that note of me blowing a big raspberry, perhaps we should wrap up this little recap of E3.
Yep. Look forward to our next indie showcase in September, because I know how to create good-looking games.
He sure does. It'll be a lot better than that shit we've been talking about.
You can't expect
So I was Yahtzee Croshaw. Remember to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Yahtzee Croshaw. I always tweet out when I'm doing a video or a podcast. And why don't you follow Nick as well while you're at it? Nick J. Cowell. And The Escapist as well, at Escapist Magazine. And everyone, follow Margaret Thatcher as well. Why the fuck not?
As far as more content today, we'll have Breath of the Wild 2, whatever they're calling, post-show discussion up with Marty Casey and I up in just a few minutes. And then no other streams today, and then tomorrow's ZP with Post-ZP.
Yes, tomorrow, zero punctuation will be tomorrow. I will be reviewing Necromunda Hired Gun.
Is Jack joining you for that one? Or not yet?
He doesn't join me for the streams at the moment, remember?
He's got
his kids to worry about at the moment.
Those darn kids.
Yes, you'll have some of your own at some point, I'm sure.
They don't. Putting kids through education. And you could just be talking about video games.
If only. I mean, talk about a fulfilling life.
Yes. But, all right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next
time.
Bye.